right now, it's time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, who joins us here in the studio, the director of the Chapel Hill Public Library. How are you?
I am both hot and cool.
That's good.
I'm cool now. I was hot before,
okay,
and I'll
good.
Be hot again when I walk out.
You're hot whenever you go outside,
it's
and you're
so
just
hot.
Cool in general, right?
Hey. Thank you. I set them up, you knock them down.
Boom.
No,
it
it's
is
really
hot,
hot
out there
outside.
Side. Yeah, yeah.
And it's tricky when you work at a place like the library, which is very air conditioned. And so, like, all day long, I'm in this cool cycled air, and
yeah.
Oftentimes I will walk out like, I need some natural air, mm-hmm. I need to just get some air, I'll walk outside, and I walked out today, and I just turned right back around and walked in. It's so hot. So I was driving to a meeting, again, in my air-conditioned car,
right.
And there's so much work going on right now with road construction and paving, and I just have so much empathy and respect for those guys and gals who
right?
are out there working in it, because it's brutal.
Because this is summer, summer is construction season,
yeah.
So as the temperature gets up to like 90, 95, 100 degrees with the heat index in the triple digits every single day, like these are people out there not only just standing outside in the hot sun, but like doing really strenuous physical labor
with, like,
outside.
Hot like all asphalt
all of,
goo
yeah,
and
asphalt
hats
goo
and vests
and uniforms
boots.
And boots. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't understand how they can do it. It's incredible.
Thank them for doing the work they do. Because,
100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also do the getting outside and kind of getting some natural air. Because haven't you been inside and just like air conditioning for
yeah.
a while? Like, I don't know. This is such a first world problem, right? Like, there's too much
fully
air conditioning.
Fully recognizing that, right.
But you do have to, like, you get outside today. Like, I'll leave and I'll just walk around the outside of the mall and then come back in. Today, I made it. I made it one lap around the mall. It's like, no, I'm good. I'm
yeah.
good for the rest of the day, I think.
Yeah.
At least until 7 o'clock rolls around and it's a little bit cooler. And then I can leave and go home. It's great.
Yeah.
So how is the summer reading program going?
The summer reading program is going so great.
Nice.
So I think, I was just checking on our website, we have a little tracker. So this year, we upped our challenge. In the past, like, we've often challenged the community to read 20,000, and they just blow
right
on by
it,
that to,
right.
like, 25. And then last year, I think we challenged them to 30, and it was almost 40. So this year, with, I think, I forget exactly when the program ends. I should know these things.
Weeks,
through
yeah.
August 15th.
Okay.
The tracker on our website says we're at 49,000 hours
because
we challenged for 50.
50, right?
But the
yeah.
ping pong balls in the kids' room, I think they're looking more like 50. So every time that you get 10 hours, you can put a ping pong ball in this glass tower thing. So summer reading has gone great if
nice.
The measure is hours read. If the measure is programs hosted and attended, it's also going great. We've had so many programs. And if it's measured by exhausted library staff, it's a smashing success. Our staff is great throughout the building, and especially our children's staff who do so much of the programming. So much of our summer reading summer blast is focused on kids, but it's really an organization-wide thing because we have the good folks in our library experiences division who handle all the books because people read like five times as much during the summer.
Oh, yeah.
And then the folks in our acquisitions and collections area who process all the new books because great, like lots and lots of very new popular, your bestsellers, your blockbusters, your thrillers come out in the summer.
Do
so
they time that?
Hard.
To the summer reading, kind of people read more so the blockbusters
Some,
come out? Is
I
that...
think so. Well, the spring and fall are the two big seasons for the sort of announcements of books.
Okay.
And then, of course, one thing that happens at public libraries everywhere is municipalities and counties and all of that run on a fiscal year. So what happens is, and this happens everywhere, there's this moment when you have to close out the previous year's finances, but you can't yet spend the next year's money because they're waiting for the budget to...
Right,
so there's,
right.
there's like a 2 to 4 week period where...
It's like end of June, beginning of July,
exactly.
right? Yeah.
So what happens in the summer for the acquisitions folks is there's this period where they can't order, and then they order, and then all the books come in, and they all have holds. So summer is an all-hands-on-deck
wow.
deal for the library, and our staff is just... They've just killed it. I have the best staff. I'm just going to say it. I have the best staff of any public library out there.
Take that, Richmond.
Yeah.
Yeah. First city I thought of.
Okay
so any of
yes,
them. Yeah.
So it's going well. And of course, we have the work on the terrace going on. Every time I walk in now, Blake says, how's the construction? I said, it's going well, Blake.
Yep.
So I expect him to be one of the first customers on the terrace. The awning is the the pillars, the poles for the awning are starting to go up. Mm-hmm. So that'll be up soon. The circulator has been out and about. It was at the National Night Out event, one of the many National Night Out events. Last night it was at one of the public housing neighborhoods, and apparently it was just a blast.
Awesome.
Just so much fun. So we're loving it. And I will say, we have our big summer reading kickoff, which is our summer blast kickoff, which is huge. I mean, that's like a mega event. But the last couple of years, we've started doing a end of summer cool down party. It's a little bit less crazy than the kickoff. And that's next Wednesday. So we're going to have a band. We're going to have Big Fat Gap, who we love.
Awesome.
They're going to play. We're going to have popsicles. I think we're going to have Loco Pop there. We're encouraging folks to bring a chair, hang out. Kids can run around. Parents can listen to music.
We're about to get a severe thunderstorm warning from the National Weather Service. So let's hold off until they air that. And arrived faster than I thought. That's northern Orange and central Orange County. It's a small but severe band of rain. I'm looking at it on the radar. Hillsborough, Mebane, and everything north of that. And it's moving through that area. So between now and 5:30 this evening, so for the next hour, be careful out there, especially if you're in that part of the county. But this has been heading our way from the northwest down to the southeast, so southern Orange County. Could be affected by this as well. Seems to mostly be moving due east, so that's kind of along the I-85 corridor and just north of it. But everywhere in Orange County, be careful, especially until 5:30. So we've got Susan Brown here in the studio. You were talking about
the summer
cool down program.
That's right. Thank you. So summer cool down. What you need to know is it is next Wednesday, August 15th, from 6 till 7 at the library. Music, popsicles, Big Fat Gap, celebrating another awesome, awesome summer of fun and reading at the library.
Very cool. So out of all of that, I've got one point of emphasis and then two questions. The phone just went off.
A point of emphasis and two questions.
Yes. Number one, you set the goal for 50,000 mm-hmm. hours of reading, and we're going to hit that, which is awesome. That's worth celebrating.
Because
usually, wasn't it like 2 years ago the goal was 20,000 hours,
yes.
and now it's 50, and we're getting to the point where we're hitting that goal, which is great.
And this is for people of all ages.
Yes.
I mean, the focus is kids, because research shows that kids that read in the summer and participate in programs like this start the school year off better. But research also shows that reading is great for everybody. There's research coming out that links reading to longer life, to better brain function in later years, to all of it. So this is for all ages. But I will say, the other day I was helping a family. It was a caretaker and three kids, and the boy, who was probably 10 or 12, he was checking out this whole stack of books. And I said, are you in the summer reading challenge? And he said, oh yeah. And then like his babysitter and his family all kind of like roll their eyes, like, here it comes. He's like, I've read the 20 hours and then I'm up to my extra 100 hours and I'm still going, and I'm gonna read until August 15th. And
good,
it was awesome. He was like so excited. But also, clearly, he's been telling everybody that he meets how many hours
as
he's
well
read.
He should.
I love that kid.
Yes.
That was awesome. So
100%.
That's how we get to 50,000 hours. Every hour counts.
Which suggests that during, and you mentioned this, during the summertime, that's like the busy season for the Chapel Hill Public Library. So, I'm thinking about this in terms of, like, we're planning a trip to Disney World, and we're trying to go in October because that's like the downtime mm-hmm. for where the lines are shorter. Is there a downtime for the Chapel Hill Public Library? We're like,
that's a great question.
We're like, the lines are shorter, or like there's a little bit more kind of open space to sit down and read.
No.
I'm okay,
just gonna
good.
Say
there you go.
So, and we are working on getting some more granular measurements of things, mm-hmm. and also not just how many people come in the building, but what they're doing in the building. But we average, so throughout the year, we average 1,800 people a day, and during the summer, we average 2,200. That's crazy busy.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a couple of like 2 week periods throughout the year where maybe it's a little bit slower, but we have a very high volume of business.
Yeah.
And we use great staff and technology to really make things efficient and effective. Yeah.
And then my third question, which is kind of about the book world. You mentioned like the acquisitions and popular books coming in at certain times. There are websites that I like kind of obsessively go to that track box office numbers for movies. Mm-hmm. And you can tell like the summertime is the blockbuster season and the wintertime, you know, the box office goes up. Is there a tracker like that for book sales?
Oh, yeah.
Or like for
big,
like popular books always come out in, you mentioned spring and fall are kind of the big
seasons. Spring and fall are the big sort of launches of the cat. So publishers put out their like list, like their spring list or fall list. And then that tells you what's coming out when. You can, so there are ways to judge how popular a book's going to be. Things like the print run. So if you learn in the spring that a book's coming out in August with a $100,000 print run, you should go ahead and order a couple copies of that book because that indicates popularity.
Okay.
But there's also things like the New York Times list, there's
yes.
Publishers Weekly list, there's all kinds of sales lists and indicators and all of that.
But are there seasons of the year when like sales go up or more popular books come out?
Times. And then if you think about it, like for book buying, it's very much, for consumers, it's a seasonal thing. So mass market paperback sales go up in the summer. Gift books, nonfiction, coffee table books go
books,
up at Christmas because
time,
they're gift
yep,
books.
Yep, okay.
So all of that. Yeah.
Gotcha. All right,
yeah.
Cool. Talking with Sue, I've never even thought about that. But like I'm obsessively focused on like box office numbers for no good reason. It's just like a weird hobby of mine.
So here's a little pro tip for you. This isn't about sales numbers, but one thing to know is New Book Day is always Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
That's when new books come out. But in our catalog, so you can go to our website and go to our catalog, and we use a great catalog search function. But you can go in there, and I forget how to do it exactly. I do it all the time, so therefore I can't tell you how to do it. But you can go under reading, and you can go to our catalog, and there's a way in here that you can limit your search to new, and you can see what's on order. So you can get on the holds list before the physical book comes in. I think it's under Explore, maybe. Yes, and if you do Explore and you do new titles, you can see what's on order. And I mean, so I've heard, I don't actually do this. You can just go through and say, click, 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 hold,
of course.
For books that come out and say December.
Right,
right. It's pretty awesome.
So do that at the Chapel Hill Public Library website. Susan Brown is here in the studio. We are talking books, but we haven't yet. So let's talk about what we are reading right now.
What are we reading right now?
I'm reading a lot, actually.
I am too.
Yeah. Okay, you first.
Okay, so I'm not a big summer person. I don't like the hot weather. I'm not a big beach person, but one of my all-time favorite books and movies is Jaws.
Okay.
I love sharks, okay? So I have seen the movie a gazillion times. I've read the book several times. I am currently listening to it.
Ooh.
So I think I've told you on the show a couple times, I'm a new convert to audiobooks.
Right.
And so I'm currently listening to Jaws, but another shark book that I'm about to read, somebody has said to me, like, you have this whole shark thing. Here's a book that you ought to read. So I am about to start a book called The Shark Club. So The Shark Club is by Anne Kidd Taylor, who lives in Chapel Hill, as does her mother, Sue Monk Kidd. So many people know Sue Monk Kidd because she wrote The Secret Life of Bees. And her daughter, Anne Kidd Taylor, is just as wonderful a writer. And they moved here together with their families just a couple months ago. And one of the first things they did, I mean, these are some major authors.
Yeah.
They came to the Chapel Hill Public Library and they got a library card.
Nice.
So I met them through that. They're lovely. She's done a program at the library. Sue's going to do a program. But her book is called The Shark Club, and it's a perfect kind of breezy summer book. So it's about, it's a bit of a love story. It's a bit of a environmental mystery. It's a bit of a family story. But it's about, it opens with a young girl in 1988, and she's like a preteen, and two big things happen. She gets her first kiss from the boy of her dreams, and she's immediately attacked by a shark.
Whoa.
So what a great setup for a book, right? And then in one of my favorite kind of frames for a book, it fast forwards to her as an adult. She's now a marine biologist. She travels the world. And then the story unfolds from there with her reconnecting with old loves, finding possible new loves, a little bit of shark environmental eco things going on. It's fabulous.
That's great.
So I just started reading it. Everybody that I know that's read it loves it. If you like sort of women's fiction, literary fiction, but also not too heavy and deep. And if you like sharks.
Awesome.
I would recommend The Shark Club.
Cool.
And all Jaws. Right.
And Jaws, of course.
Very different
when
books.
When you listen
very
to the audio book of Jaws, does the reader go da-da-da-da-da when the time comes? Or
no, but
no?
That would be awesome.
That would be great, right? All right, so I've been going through the UNC libraries and, like, pulling out whatever.
Yes.
And this is all nonfiction that I've been reading over the summer. But there's one, the author, John Ronson, who wrote Them.
I love John Ronson.
He's so good. This is only the second book of his that I've read. The first one that I read was Them, which is where he, like, goes, like, neck deep into the world of just radical extremists and talks with them and, like, finds out about their lives. That's a fascinating book. But the one that I just read was one that came out a couple of years ago, and I've been meaning to read it for years, and then I found it, like, just saw it in the library, like, I must get this. It's called So You've Been Publicly Shamed.
Oh, yes.
It's so good. It's a brilliant book. It's all about, and again, goes in and interviews people. Some of them are famous. Jonah Lehrer was an author who got found out as a, like, massive plagiarist and then got hit with this, like, social media firestorm and lost everything. And then there are kind of random people like Justine Sacco, who is the PR person who, like, tweeted something vaguely racist and then got on the 11-hour flight to South Africa, and then through the entire 11 hours, Twitter just explodes.
Yep.
And then that social media fires. So people who have gone through that on social media and the effect that it has on them and the effect that, like, public shaming has, and it's making a comeback, and what that means for society and, like, basic rules of due process and things like that, which exist in the legal world but don't exist on Twitter, and what are the ramifications of that, and how we can come out of that, and how people who have gone through that emerge on the other side. Some people end up coming out of it and some people don't. It's a fascinating, and it's fascinating, and it's sometimes funny, but it's also a really troubling and disturbing book.
Yes.
But it's also an amazing, great read, because he's a fantastic writer, and you can just sit down and read it in, like, a couple hours.
He's a great writer.
Yeah.
So I have read parts of that one. I also love The Psychopath Test.
I haven't read that one yet.
I read Them. I loved Lost at Sea.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great writer. He's sort of like a edgier, like, if you like sort of Malcolm Gladwell, mm-hmm. but he's much a bit rawer, grittier, edgier, kind of out there.
A little bit more kind of like sardonic, sarcastic in
right.
a way. Yeah.
Right. But still, like, very, very smart. Like,
yes.
not snarky, but yeah. So that's great.
Yep.
Okay. So the other book that I'm working on is I'm rereading this one, actually. So I've talked on this show before about this Great American Read series that we're doing, which is in conjunction with this PBS show. We've done one about heroes. We've got one coming up about villains. We've done one about love. The show has, like, six themes. So we're doing programs on those themes. And we have one coming up, I think it's August 23rd, called Other Worlds. And so this one is sort of focused loosely on science fiction, dystopian fiction, sort of why do we as readers enjoy things like 1984, The Hunger Games, all of that kind of stuff. So we have a great panel of speakers and writers, and one of them is a writer named Jason Mott. So he lives in North Carolina. I think he's from North Carolina, and some people know this book because it was turned into a cable TV series. But the book that I'm rereading, because I may be moderating that panel, so I want to be fresh with all these books, it's called The Returned. And this came out maybe 6 or 8 years ago. But the premise of it is it opens with a couple who lost their child, I don't know, like several, many years ago.
I think
the child was a child,
mm-hmm.
Or that didn't make any sense. When their offspring was a child.
Was a child, yes.
And so they've had this life of grief and questioning and all of this. And they're elderly now. And one day he appears. But he's not an adult. He's still this 8-year-old child. So it turns out this is happening all over the world. So that's how the book opens. And then it unfolds about what's happening. Is this a miracle? Is this aliens? Is this a sign of the end times?
Right.
And again, this is sort of that literary science fiction stuff. And I often hate to put that term literary on there, but it is.
Yeah.
It's a great book. He's written a couple since then, and I think he's got a more recent one out, but he's going to be at Chapel Hill Public Library later in August, so I'm rereading a book that I enjoyed the first time, The Returned.
Awesome. That's it. Talking books with Susan Brown. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.